noche al tengo que venir con una de los que llegaron.
Thank you. Is there any other nominations for the position? There being no further nominations, I ask Mr. Adams to take the chair as acting chairperson until the chairperson returns. Thanks.
Good morning, honorable members. Staff members, thank you, Mr. Hermans, for doing us the honor. And I see, honorable, thank you first of all for the confidence. And I hope that we're not going to have a very long meeting as we have a 10 o'clock sitting. Honorable members, I see the honorable Fultan is getting hot next to honorable Kopane. Hey, that's a lady that weekends is in tracksuit and tackies, Baba. That's how fit she is, running the streets of the Free State. But welcome back, honorable members. And I think we can proceed with our BRRR report. Members, the seriousness of the report is as such that we've only got today, in actual fact, to adopt this report. If we don't do it, then we won't have a BRRR, and it will have to fall off, because we can't do it next season, because the report must still be 80 seats probably by tomorrow, and either by Thursday or Tuesday next week, we'll handle with it in the House. So just to conscientize you that it is quite serious, and to be honest with you, that we have raised the matter with the department, because the reason why the report is so late was that the department has brought the annual statement late, or submitted it late to Parliament. The minister has asked the speaker to have submitted the statement by the end of October, which I think they did, or a few days after the end of October, they did it on time. And then they briefed us, I think it was last week, or the week before, last week, yeah. Last week we had a briefing by the department, and we can say thank you to Suaib and Ines for doing such a sterling job within a couple of days to pull a report together from last week and Tuesday up until today. The first one was a 90-something page document. Thank you, Shoaib, to bring it down to 52 pages and take an NES and took out all the unnecessary stuff that there was, and to make it more user-friendly and reader-friendly. I know the Honorable Fultani likes to read, but he doesn't like to read a lot of duplications. So that's why that's what we've got in front of us, members. And so I would really plead and beg your indulgence and your cooperation in this regard to see if it's possible if we can pass this report by today. If we can't finish now, within the next 45 minutes that we have, if we can then have a meeting at lunchtime with your permission to finalize the report. Honourable members, I put it to you. Is that okay?
Silence.
Silence means consent. Honourable Matlopa.
No, thanks, Honourable Chair. No, I think because really if we don't approve this report, it will have a negative implication on the committee also. I think we have to try and meet at lunchtime, but I don't know whether the lunch will be arranged because members have to go to lunch that time.
The lunch has been arranged. I don't know whether it is the Flights Office London that has made the catering a bit slow this morning.
But Chair, you'll forgive me, it's at 10 o'clock I have to join the other meeting as usually we do with my colleague. Yes.
How about you, darling? You fine? Imamas, Lashael and Adams, you're fine.
No, I think it's fine, Honorable Chair. We'll come back at 1 o'clock and continue.
Okay, but can
no,
we then...
indeed, we have got to talk to the department. It's,
you've got to?
They are really not doing things fair for us.
Mm. Okay. We'll give over to Shoaib to take us through the report, just to touch on the major issues of the report, and then members then can peruse the report probably in the house or somewhere, and we come back at lunch and clean up and adopt. Mr. Donation and Ines.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Chair, in order to go quicker through the report, I would suggest that what we could do is to skip pages. I'll try and tell members which pages I skip and which section, and then we'll wait until everyone's on the same page before we proceed. For a start, Chair, the 2015-16 budgetary review and recommendation report of this committee is focused on the performance of the National Department of Public Works. The date there, Chair, may change to the day on which we adopt. So that's the one thing I wanted to lift out on the first page. Could I then suggest, Chair, because the introduction and the mandate, the role of the committee, evidence on, I'm on the second page, evidence that the committee used, and the structure of the report, including four, on page four, the committee's oversight over the alignment of the legal mandate, etc. These are all formal things that's always in the report. They've been stated in the budget vote report, etc. I would suggest that we then skip those types of things, even everything on page 4, 5, and we start on page 6, which is part of 4, but on page 6, the DPW and PMTE annual performance plan that I would suggest we possibly just start there and go through some of that, which will then take us into the financial statement and something on page 8. So if we talk about the annual performance plan, Chair, the important aspect is the separation of the functions of the PMTE in this financial year from that of the DPW, the main board. This means that the regulatory and policy quality norms and standard setting and monitoring functions will remain with the department, but all the service delivery functions fall under the PMTE. That specific paragraph is important because it sets the tone for the rest of this budget review and recommendation report. Because when we look at the financial statements, we would then see that the way in which the finances have been allocated have changed. We would recall as a committee that that's what the CFO also tried to alert us to right at the beginning in the meeting with them on Tuesday past. The separation of function is an outcome of the turnaround strategy, and correctly this committee congratulated and commended the department for the effects of that turnaround strategy in its meeting. And this is a turnaround strategy that is unfolding over the medium-term expenditure framework period. The turnaround strategy moved the DPW into a phase of stabilization and resulted in the repositioning of the organization to better discharge its responsibilities. The strategy was necessary to address the historically poor performance and lack of adequate management and financial controls that this department has suffered from. We will recall that in the revised strategic plan 2015-2020, the minister reported that this turnaround strategy has delivered results, and that it was in a phase where it was ensuring, quote-unquote, effective implementation through a focused plan with measurable deliverables against budgets and timeframes. The turnaround strategy importantly includes the realignment of the department to secure better focus on its mandate as custodian and portfolio manager of the government's immovable assets. That is what the first paragraph here referred to. Since the operationalization of the PMTE in this financial year, the department would be focused on improved oversight over policy formulation, coordination, regulation, and oversight related to the provision of accommodation and expert built environment services to client departments. The PMTE would be focused on the service delivery functions that used to fall under the DPW, namely planning, acquiring, managing, and disposing of immovable assets. And that should be a full stop there, Chair. My apologies for those two words there. It's for this reason that the committee noted a substantial decrease in the financial and staff allocations of the programs falling under the DPW, with a concomitant increase in that of the PMTE. This is evident in the financial and performance sections that follow later in the report. On page 7, Chair, the financials are indicated for this financial year, but what happens is we look at both the 14-15 and the 15-16 allocation, and we can see that the spending of the budget is actually starting to increase, and that was quite evident in the presentation from the department as well. I will not carry on with that one. The only thing I want to say, Chair, about the next table is the matter of unspent funds. In other words, underspending. And what I did here was we put down for each program in the department the underspending amount, which comes to, if we round it off, about 31 million. On page 8, apologies, that space there is because of the table. We will fix that before it goes to the ATC. The main concern, Chair, and just about the long draft which went out to members initially, the amount was indicated as 37 billion, which is an atrocity, if it was the truth. In its interactions with the DPW, the main concern that this committee noted was the 3.7 billion that was allocated to Program 4, which is Property and Construction Industry Policy and Research. Inez, the researcher, referred to this one as well, and it's something that we need to keep our eyes open during the next financial year as well. That amount is 59% of the total budget of the DPW that totaled 6.3 billion. That's a huge amount for one program. The concern is as follows, and it relates to the review of the white papers and the eventual draft legislation that will focus this department more on its mandate. And it's in red. Through its oversight work since 2014, this committee noted that the DPW strategic plan and annual performance plan consistently stated that Program 4 would deliver a review of policy texts. Unfortunately, over the two financial years, in spite of the APP stating that it would be delivered, it did not materialize, and this committee could find no concrete output resulting in review of policy and new draft policy. The annual report for the current financial year under review, pages 70, and it is actually on 71 as well, I'll take the PP out, refer to the draft public works white paper that will be gazetted in the 2016-17 financial year. Now, that means that the department is now saying, no, 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 not this year, it comes the next year. And what we indicate is that it happened in 14-15, no, 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 it comes in 15-16. This is 15-16, now they say it's going to come in 16-17. That's what we are alerting members to here. The committee is concerned that given the pattern set over the last two financial years, this would be repeated. The word this will go in there. This further impacts negatively on the performance target success rate, as well as on the alignment of DPW's APP to its programmatic work and eventual impact in the built environment and construction sector. Now, honourable members, what follows here up to the middle of page 9 are the reasons given for the total unspent funds totaling 31 million. Um, And I'm just hesitating because I don't know whether it's necessary to go through that chair. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. And really what it is, it's very ordinary things. We looked at this in the presentation as well. There's nothing new and nothing controversial about that. So I continue with 6. And just to say, honorable members, what we do from here onwards has to do, just to remind members, with matters related to the financial statements. And much of what follows is what comes from Inez's report on the annual report. And it is pretty straightforward. It's in the annual report. And if we want to save time, we could skip all of that because there was this report of Inez was checked. I went through it as well. I don't see anything wrong with it. If honorable members feel fine with that, we could move to probably page 14, where there's something about prestige policy that I just need to lift out for members at the bottom of page 14, if that's okay with you, honorable chair.
Honorable members, can we put the question? Is it fine with you? Our Highness Honorable Kobane, fine with you? That was fine. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Under prestige policy, I will not go through all of that. Just, Chair, the issue of targets that were not achieved for prestige policy. Now, prestige policy is the branch that looks after Parliament. It looks after members of Parliament, their accommodation, and it looks after the presidency, judges, etc. The success rate is indicated there. The problem that we need to it's not a serious problem, but it's something if we don't look at it and keep our minds on it, it could become a serious problem. Its targets is reasonably okay. They missed certain targets, but these targets that were not achieved, that very first bullet, developed and completed draft prestige norms and standards for Category 3 clients. Just to pause, Category 3 clients is Parliament and the Presidency. In fact, sorry, it's just members of Parliament. Honourable members, this particular thing was reported in the first quarter of the financial, in the first quarter report to this committee. It is important that we note that it has been reported, and it looks as if there hasn't been progress with it. Because the importance of quarterly reports is that this committee will say, hold on, you didn't achieve this, you're going slow. Do something about it. And it looks now in the annual report as if it appears again, and to us it just seems as if nothing was done. That's why that's alerted to, Chair. The same with the provincial public works prestige norms and standards and the service level agreement between the department and Parliament. These are things that honourable members of this committee raised in the presentation with the department as well. Chairperson, I just want to raise something because I want to start skipping pages again. And just perhaps if Inez, if you feel there's anything, you may just jump in. Because it is a dual presentation, Chair. Chairperson, the human resource and matters and vacancies and critical occupations for this financial year is important that we note that for this financial year, there were a total of 7,168 posts. 6,070 were filled by the end of the financial year, with 1,545 additional to the establishment. 1,098, so about 1,100 were not filled. The matter was raised, I think, by the Honourable Adams, not the chairperson, the other one, from the best province. This issue of vacancies is crucial, and the manner in which the department puts staff in place to do the work is very important. And this matter I'm raising because we will look at, except for the critical occupation one, we will look at the matter of Program 4 that was given 59% of the department's budget. We have to look at that. I'm not going through everything on page 15 again, Chairperson, because I just needed to make the point that that matter of the 1,100, and I'm rounding off again, posts is something that we need to keep our heads on, our focus on. The reasons why staff resigned, page 16, 774 personnel, and we would remember that the Honourable Kola Barnard requested a report on this because the DDG in charge of that gave us the numbers, but none of us could really capture all of those numbers. These are the numbers that comes from the annual report. So I'm indicating to members that the numbers here is annual report numbers and not what he gave us. It seemed as if his numbers were different. So that's just a point that needs to be made. We note the disciplinary hearings, pardon, and the 90 misconduct and disciplinary hearings, which were finalized. And I just need to make a point here that the matter of disciplinaries, we expect that the number would rise in this period of the turnaround strategy with the focus on anti-corruption. And it's clear that some of that is there, and it is something that is commendable from this department. On page 17, the matters highlighted by the in the report of the Auditor General that is related to the DPW. This is split, let me just say this also, Honourable Members, that we're not dealing with DPW and PMTE, we're just dealing DPW first and then we'll do PMTE later. In the case of DPW, it received an unqualified audit opinion. This is commendable. I remember the Honourable Masiela making the point to the department that we commend them for actually improving from previous financial years. I think it's the second year in a row that we have an unqualified opinion for this department, and it really is commendable if we think of where they come from. And the point I make there is that it's the second year since the turnaround strategy was implemented. I am not going to go through all of the bullets because there is nothing that stands out that require members to really be focused on for now. On page 19, the PMTE, as mentioned earlier on, the PMTE was established and operationalized fully in this financial year. A little bit of the background and history of the PMTE follows here from 2006 financial year until 2014-15, where it operated under Program 2. It is now operating on its own, and this is why what follows now will, from page 20 onwards, will reflect on that. So we will not go through this. Just one point, Honourable Members, that needs to be made and needs to be kept in mind for this committee is the matter of specialist skills. And I'll read the portion of the report that deals with that. It says, at the meeting, it's in the middle of, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth line from in February 2014, that last paragraph on page 19. At the meeting with the Portfolio Committee in February 2014, the department indicated that some of the vacancies for specialist skills that were required by PMTE included property economists, property managers, chartered accountants, property lawyers, there should be a comma there, and property evaluators. The lack of these specialist skills in the past meant that the department operated at a disadvantage where the private sector was advantaged, as their negotiating teams, particularly when signing lease agreements with landlords, were often property managers, lawyers, and evaluators. Professionals, in other words, and very, very experienced people. The department further stated that these positions were being filled, and it is stated in the annual report, so that the field of state property management would be more professional and focused on effectiveness and efficiency. Those two words are actually very important words. They differ. They're not the same thing. If you are efficient, you actually spend less money to do more. And that's what we are talking about in the case of this department. Page 20 at the top, Oh, the point I was making, the reason why I read that portion is because we, in the next few financial years to 2020, will have to keep our eyes on whether the PMTE gets it right to appoint these professionals. If they are not going to get it right, we're going to go into another cycle of dipping and towards more qualified opinions again. On page 20, the main functions of the PMTE is quoted. We make the point in the second paragraph of the main functions that the committee noted that because the measurement initiatives were still in progress, the property values in the annual report, in other words, the values stated in the annual report in the, of the PMTE, represent provisional amounts. It's a point that just needs to be kept in mind. These values would be updated to comply with generally recognized accounting practice requirements in the transitional period. And I know the Honourable Sithole will want us to write that out, and I'm making a little note there, Honourable Sithole, with it to the graph. The overall performance follows, and as I did with the DPW, I would suggest, Honourable Chair, with your permission and the committee's permission, that we skip all the programs. These are, as was in the annual report of the PMTE, and Inez went through this again. It's a portion that has been double-checked. We page, Honourable Chair, to page 25. Chair, it would be noteworthy that in this first session we have reached halfway of the report. And 25, the issues highlighted in the report by the Auditor General for this financial year. The PMT received a qualified opinion, including emphasis of matters and additional matters from the Auditor General for this year. It also received a qualified opinion with the following emphasis of matters and additional matters in 2014-15. The basis for the qualified opinion includes these matters that we are listing now. With members and the chairperson's permission, I will just list them and not necessarily go into each one. There were problems with payables from exchange transactions, and this had to do with the trading entity not recognizing all outstanding amounts, meeting the definition of a liability in accordance with generally recognized accounting practice 1, due to a lack of adequate systems to maintain records of accruals for goods and services received, but not yet paid for, and therefore payables were understated. The AG was therefore unable to determine the full extent of the understatement of accrued expenses. These are the amounts: maintenance of 417.4 million, which was excluded in payables from exchange transactions stated at 2.6 billion, and property maintenance expenditures stated at 2.9 billion. Under operating expenses, the AG could not determine whether any adjustments were necessary to property rates, stated as 1.1 billion. These are the rates that relate to the municipalities that we dealt with substantially in the meeting. The comparative amount for 2015 was 819.8 million, and it was due to, first bullet, the state of accounting records provided, ownership of properties for which property rates had been paid that could not be confirmed, and I remember Honourable Kola Barnett requesting over and over more data on this. Property rates could not be confirmed by alternative means, and the AG highlighted the following emphasis of matters. Bullet 1, incurred material losses of 366.8 million, unrecoverable irregular expenditure 27.3 billion, and the third bullet, the AG identified the corresponding figures for 31 March 2015. These are as in notes 36 and 37 of the financial statements. These are to be restated as a result of errors that were discovered during 2016 in the financial statements. The next one is predetermined objectives. The AG performs procedures to obtain evidence about usefulness and reliabilities of these this performance information of the following programs. It's program, and I'm not going to every bullet in each program, but I'll mention the programs. Program 3, construction project management, real estate management, program 4, program, 6 facilities management, and just to say that all of these have to do with reported performance information and indicators being vague, sometimes not making sense, etc. And it would be interesting for the members, we could somewhere during the next financial year, Honourable Chair, actually ask the AG to come to us and show us how they do this test. Then when they then do the work with us in September, October, hopefully this year September, October rather than November, then we can see how trustworthy this is and why I suggest, Chair, we don't have to go through every bullet. On page 27, the AG reported on these matters. Again, I will just read the headings. Adjustment of material misstatements. Those are material findings. Annual financial statements. Procurement, I'm on page 28. Procurement and contract management. Expenditure management, revenue management, this gap must come away, leadership, financial and performance management, governance, and the reports on the investigations. I'll pause here, Chair, and just quickly read, just to remind members about the investigations so that members can see that the AG's attention on this and the committee's attention on this shows the seriousness of us being updated on this. Numerous allegations relating to transgressions with regard to supply chain management, potential fraud and financial misconduct were still being investigated on an ongoing basis by the SIU and the Governance, Risk and Compliance Unit of the Department. Chair, the importance of that is that while we are in a stabilization phase, the committee and AG, etc., we cannot lift our foot off the pedal. It has to be kept stable. On page 29 at the bottom, the financial performance for this financial year follows. Chairperson Ants, as with the department, I suggest that we don't have to go through everything here except to go through to page 31, matters that emerged related to the annual report of the entities of the department. In other words, the entities reporting to the Minister of Public Works. Chairperson, if that's fine with you and with members. We start with the IDT. What we do with each one is there's a background, and perhaps we shouldn't go through the background, but just to say, just before the next heading on page 32, it's over the last few two financial years, this entity had adverse audit opinions from the Office of the Auditor General, and the matters that we list now are those that were highlighted. It's an entity, honourable members, that just to remind members that there is a draft, the annual report of the DPW reported on this as well, there's a draft cabinet memo to restructure this entity into something that is more relevant related, and would also then get this entity into a situation where it actually makes money sense. In other words, it's not coming up to ask for money all the time. It actually makes money on its own. The areas of weakness are the following on page 32, and there are 4 bullets. I will just read the bold so that members are on par with us. First one is the loss of key leadership and in accounts and financial management. No, it should be and. The loss of key leadership really just refers to the issue around the CEO. Accounts and financial management staff after the CFO and CEO left, members would recall that almost the whole financial management of this entity left as well. And this left a gap that seems to have caused these material findings of the Auditor General. The second bullet, inadequate document management systems, again something that resulted because of the loss of those staff. Low capacity of the internal audit function. We know that if an organization doesn't have that functioning, then the Auditor General is going to hammer them and the material findings are going to be negative. Poor record keeping of externally contracted services. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members would recall on our visit to Mpumalanga, we found this firsthand when we visited those projects. There's no proper record management around contracts at a central point. We can then go to the financial statements, which we summarized for this financial year. And we're saying that instead of improving after the disclaimer of the previous financial year, the IDT has unfortunately received another disclaimer of opinion for this financial year. That's a fact that we can't move away from, and the four bullets previous to that, to the statement, speaks to why it is so. Areas that is lifted out as requiring attention, I will just list them. The IDT identified procurement, project accounting, and revenue management as areas that required specialized technical support to strengthen its financial management records. It also experienced challenges with its accounting systems, which means that it may have to procure outside expertise to assist a turnaround in these areas. It is obviously something that this committee is not in favor of. Program cash, cash equivalents, and program reserves and liabilities. These matters, honorable members, were raised by this committee last year. The Auditor General also raised it, and the Auditor General could not audit the balances that were provided and that were valued at 874 million because there were no supporting reconciliations being available. It's very hard for me to read this because it doesn't make sense that people work with money and they don't do this. The IDT's explanation was that it was the first time that it had to account for these balances. Chair, I feel it's a bit strange that we have to even put that sentence there. We need to note, however, the attempts of the IDT to reconcile these programs dating back to 2013-14, just to refresh members' memory. This relates to data. The IDT said goes back a number of years, and it's the first time that they have to then provide certain documents that they in the past did not. It's the issue of generally accepted accounting practices and the difference with generally recognized accounting practices that starts rearing its head here again. But it's also not even that. It is just accounting and financial management that's weak in the case of the IDT at the moment. You would remember that they spoke of systems enhancement processes, that the financial management contains significant data that it could not move from old to new system. Unfortunately, it took longer than expected, and therefore they could not complete it in this financial year. I then move to the next highlighted heading, inaccurate recording of program expenditure, management fees, and trade receivables. The matter was again something that was raised in the previous financial year. The IDT put standard operating procedures in place, and it rolled out in all regions related to cut-off procedures during the last quarter for the period under review and the accruing of program invoices not processed before the end of the financial year. Unfortunately, some exceptions were identified, and it resulted in the AG finding having material findings. The IDT did not recognize revenue due to it from project management fees as required by international accounting standards. Program expenditure forms the basis on which management fees is charged. It should be R-charged. No, it is actually eased because it's one act. The IDT may explain this in its presentation. My apologies, this should come out, Chairperson. I will fix that sentence. It doesn't have to be that the IDT explain it. It should be the IDT explained if the sentence stays there. So I will read it as the IDT explained this in its presentation to the committee as part of the legacy problem related to the migration of data from the old accounting information system, which is called Great Plains. It remained insufficient and it tends to recur in financial years. If members may just make a note that this is a point, if it's here, it was in the previous BRRR, and it may appear again in the next one. The next one is compliance with Public Financial Management Act. I am not going to go through all of that, Honourable Chair, because what we do here is to actually quote what the PFMA say should be done. Procurement and contract management, contravention of the PFMA, the quotation is there again, and how functionaries whose associates had private or business interests in contracts awarded by the entity participated in the process This is illegal. The PFMA says it's not supposed to be. The quote is there, honourable members. If need be, a recommendation in this regard can be crafted for the members to look at. We're on page 35, weak expenditure management, contravention of the PFMA. I quote the PFMA again, because it is illegal if administration do not take effective steps to prevent irregular expenditure. You have to prevent irregular expenditure. In this case, it amounted to 6 million rand and fruitless and wasteful expenditure amounting to, my apologies for the extra R, 5.1 million rand. And this is the section of the PFMA that says that it should not happen and that it is actually illegal. Revenue management, Honourable Chair, again, I'm quoting the PFMA to make certain that we have this on paper, that it's not correct and actually illegal. Chair, we are now on page 36 that deals with the CBE, Council for the Built Environment. Members may recall that this is the entity that oversees and coordinates the activities of the six professional councils. We often call them BEPCs, Built Environment Professional Councils. And we just do a bit of a background here that refers to the Built Indaba 2010 that brought all key role players in the built environment professions together. And one should just remind members that when we talk about built environment professions, this is the interface of government with private industry. And this is where this department and the PMTE needs to be professional and professionally equipped and capacitated. It is here that this particular entity would play that role, and the minister has the role of making certain that this interface changes, that it's not just government that changes, that it's the other side also. So, honourable members, this Indaba basically just proved that the need, and I'm just reading the last portion of that paragraph, I'll read the last sentence. The proceedings of the Indaba revealed that there's agreement amongst all stakeholders that, given the need for infrastructure development and maintenance, the need to transform the built environment professions is serious and needs urgent attention. It is something, honourable members, that we have to sharpen our oversight over greatly in this committee over the next few financial years. Overall performance and achievements for this financial year, we just summarise it as, for this financial year, the CBE received 43.9 million and it received it from a Department of Public Works grant, which is 42 million. My apologies. And the other one is just under 2 million as well. And that is for levies received. Just to mention that the levies are levies from the professional councils, the six BEPCs, to the CBE. The Auditor General noted or reported to us the following weaknesses. The AG could not identify adequate, reliable, corroborating evidence for the reported achievements against planned targets as in the annual performance plan of the Council for the Built Environment. And this is under Program 2, Skills for Infrastructure Delivery. Second one, the AG identified material misstatements in the annual performance report that was submitted for auditing. Again, for Program 2, Skills for Infrastructure Delivery. Some of the misstatements of Program 2, again the same program, were subsequently corrected. However, the AG identified material findings of unreliability of the reported performance information. And again, this is just to take members back to the statement I made earlier on. It's the type of test that the AG does to determine how relevant the indicators are compared to the plan performance. Financial statements in the next bullet, submitted for auditing, were not fully prepared as per requirements of the PFMA. This is one of those sections that's quoted in the report for the IDT. There were material misstatements of non-current assets, current liabilities, and disclosure items that was identified by the auditors in the financial statements that were submitted. The above issues were corrected, and this resulted in the financial statements receiving an unqualified audit opinion. So it was after correction that it received that, but it is noteworthy that it was actually unqualified, the financial statements. Effective steps were not taken, to prevent irregular expenditure of 2.3 million as required by Section 51(1)(b), Roman letter 2 of the PFMA. These investigations is related to the CEO. Members would recall that we had a specific meeting that dealt with this matter. Not that the meeting was focused on it, but it dealt with it substantially. Also dealt with the disciplinary process that was instituted against the supply chain manager on charges of misconduct, financial misconduct, in the previous financial year. The official resigned during August 2015, and again, it is something that we need to keep our eye open, where officials resign and there is no consequences. Honorable Chair, the financial performance, in order to save time, this is the financial performance, operating expenses, irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as was reported to us last week, and we have checked and dealt with each one of these. The summaries of the activities of the six built environment professional councils, these are noteworthy, and we list them in our budget review and recommendation report for that reason. I'm going, Chairperson, to page 41, thereby suggesting, Chair, that everything that I skipped has been checked, as I did with the PMTE and the DPW. So we go to 9.3, the Construction Industry Development Board. It is the entity that performed the best in this financial year. It's an entity that we are also looking forward to getting an amended bill, hopefully in the next financial year. The mandate follows the Chairperson, and I'll move to page 42 rather than going through the mandate, to deal with matters that emerged from deliberations with members of the committee. I'm just listing it, Chairperson, because this is some of the stuff that this committee did oversight over and raised. And actually got, in the previous financial year, we got a report on this. The achievement on page 43, I would suggest we note them. These are as in the annual report. So therefore, Chair, I would suggest that we can actually move to areas of weakness on page 47, with your permission, Chair, and the committee's permission, which is the areas of weakness noted from the report by the Auditor General. So even though it received an unqualified audit opinion from the Auditor General with matters of emphasis, we need to note the matters of emphasis. Matters of emphasis include the provision for the performance bonuses that was incorrectly raised in the previous financial statements. Expenditure management, effective steps were not taken to prevent irregular expenditure amounting to 2.3, almost 2.4, let's say 2.3 rather, as disclosed in note 29 of the financial statements in the annual report of the entity. And then we note the instances of irregular expenditure noted where action was taken in some instances. The amounts are there as was stated in the annual report, Chairperson. And with that, Chair, I would suggest we go to Agrimo SA unless it is time for members to go, Chair. It is the last it is the last entity, if I could run through it, Chairperson. Because it's a very short one, Chair. This is the legislation of Agrimo. We know that we passed the bill, and Agrimo is now a legal entity. The achievements we've noted, it's easy to go through this because these are things that we've done, Chairperson, And the audit we've also noted. These are three things that where documents agreed with income and that had to do with labour hours, etc. If honourable members want me to, I could run through the draft recommendations.
Thank you very much, Shoaib. Welcome, Honourable Kolabana. We have received your apology. Right. Members, it's time for us to hit the road. I would suggest that you look at the recommendations, and when we come back at 12:30, is it 12:30? We're coming back. That we do then, if there's anything that bothers you, and that's from the report, that we added or forwarded to Shoaib, to include into our report, if that is fine with you. Honourable members, is that okay with you? Agreed. Okay. Members, thank you very much, Shoaib and Ines, for such efficient work done. And we meet here again at 12:30 or 12:45. There is something to eat outside, members. Please grab, otherwise we don't want to be stand accused, as our chairperson says, of wasteful and fruitless expenditure. Please grab something. Thank you very much, members. The meeting is suspended till 12:45. But if there's anything, honourable members, that you want to bring to the attention of Shoaib, please do so during the course of the morning, so that when we come back, that Shoaib can have and put that into the report. Thank you very much.
And I think during deliberations we'll have to consider a motion of no confidence in the Minister for Public Works.
I think you must bring to a substantive motion.
So why should we let them perform?